Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of Talking Twilight Zone.
You open this door with the click of a mouse. Beyond it is a world of sound, thought, and opinion. In-depth discussions of television's greatest blending of science, superstition, imagination. And you're invited along. For the next 30 minutes, we'll be talking Twilight Zone.
Yes, we will be talking Twilight Zone, and this week's episode has a baseball theme. It's titled The Mighty Casey, and Robert will play our opening clip.
And now, Mr. Serling.
What you're looking at is a ghost. Once alive, but now deceased. Once upon a time, it was a baseball stadium that housed a major league ball club known as the Hoboken Zephyrs. Now it houses nothing but memories, and a wind that stirs in the high grass of what was once an outfield. A wind that sometimes bears a faint ghostly resemblance to the roar of a crowd that once sat here. We're back in time now, when the Hoboken Zephyrs was still a part of the National League. And this mausoleum of memories was an honest-to-Pete stadium. But since this is strictly a story of make-believe, it has to start this way. Once upon a time in Hoboken, New Jersey, it was tryout day. Well, you're about to meet a most unusual fella. A left-handed pitcher named Casey.
Yay, thanks, Robert. Well, this episode is about a down-and-out baseball team called the Hoboken Zephyrs. The manager of the Zephyrs is a man named McGarry, whose job is in jeopardy if the team keeps losing. Now, one day, while McGarry and the general manager are discussing this, they get a phone call about a new player who's going to try out for the Zephyrs. So an older man named Stillman shows up with a young, tall, gawky-looking kid named Casey. Casey walks out to the mound to show them his pitching, and he's just about the most amazing pitcher they've ever seen. Stillman tells McGarry and the others that Casey is a robot, and he created him, and he says, you know, we have to keep this a secret. Well, the team signs Casey in the hopes of winning the pennant. Now, this kid shows no emotion as he pitches beautifully. All no-hitter games, and the Zephyrs are finally moving to the top. One day, he gets hit in the head with a baseball, and he's taken to the hospital. The doctor is surprised that he's okay, but even more surprised when he feels no pulse and he hears no heartbeat from Casey. So, Mr. Stillman tells the doctor the truth. The doctor informs the baseball commissioner of Stillman's, information that Casey's a robot, and the commissioner says Casey's no longer permitted to play. Now, Stillman tells the commissioner that he can make Casey human by giving him a heart, and the commissioner agrees to let Casey play if he does this. So, when Casey comes back from getting his new heart, he also got something else along with it, emotions. He was smiling, and he was feeling human emotions and feelings, but he didn't yet understand competitiveness. So every pitch he now threw was easily hit, allowing the other team to win. And Casey tells McGarry that he doesn't want to hurt the batter's feelings by striking them out. And Casey, then says he wants to be a social worker and help people. So he and Stillman start the lead, walk off into the sunset, and McGarry then looks at Casey's blueprints, and he runs after Stillman. He sees something in those blueprints that makes him run after Stillman. So Rod Serling's closing narration explains why. McGarry and the Zephyrs won several pennants and series on the West Coast, but his players didn't smile very much. Well, the attentive viewer could easily figure out that McGarry's new Zephyrs were now a team of robots. Apparently, he managed to keep it under wraps from the commissioner, so he was pretty lucky. Now, I honestly did not like this episode, although I've always liked Jack Warden, and he played this role well. But I just thought there were too many unexplainable and silly scenarios, such as Casey being sent to the hospital when they all knew he was a robot. I don't know how you can knock a robot out to begin with, but then he's made human by Stillman by inserting a heart into him. Now, that was pretty way out there. And, of course, you would think the commissioner would have investigated the extraordinarily fabulous new Zephyrs. But overall, I was not impressed with this episode, and I had to give you a 0 for lousy. And it's a shame that this episode followed such a great episode like The After Hours. But that's my view on it. So, okay, over to you, Robert.
Thank you, Lynn. Yeah, I kind of give this a 1. I mean, 40F pretty much. There's not really too much to say, you know, about the team. It's, you know, like a normal team, you know, like the, what do you call them, the, like the Toledo Mud Hens or the kind that later
yeah,
on.
Yeah, the minor league.
The minor, team. Yeah. Yeah, they're very much like a minor league team. I like Jack Warren as an actor. He's okay. He did do the TV series The Bad News Bears years later on. Also did Crazy Like a Fox for a couple seasons. It just feels like there was just something missing with this story. I mean, there just didn't seem no excitement, no nothing. It's a basic baseball story with a autonomous, whatever you call android, just you know, throwing a ball. It was just that kind of story. I liked Jack Warner better in The Lonely, to be honest about it, than in this one. It does, as I agree with other people who did a review on this, that it does have a Wizard of Oz feel to it. But the 1939 movie is better than, unfortunately, this shallow of a story itself.
True.
I can't understand why, even though Casey is given a heart, that he can't have a drive. He can't have, I mean, there's lots of baseball players, football players that have heart, and actually it helps him to strive to be better, to go against. He must have gotten a weak heart from somebody, or a compassionate heart, I don't know. But bringing up the thing of the Wizard of Oz, here's a scene of the quest of the Tin Man and what he receives.
It's for you, my galvanized friend. You want a heart. You don't know how lucky you are not to have one. Hearts will never be practical until they can be made unbreakable.
But I still want one.
Back where I come from, there are men who do nothing all day but good deeds. They are called good deed doers. And their hearts are no bigger than yours. But they have one thing you haven't got, a testimonial. Therefore, in consideration of your kindness, I take pleasure at this time in presenting you with a small token of our esteem and affection. And remember, my sentimental friend, that a heart is not judged by how much you love, but by how much you are loved by others.
Oh, it ticks! Look, it ticks!
But that kind of brings a little bit of the 1939 Wizard of Oz. Future shows like Star Trek Next Generation and others, I can't remember offhand any movies that really has a robotic sports person, unless you include animation or even video games, that they do have someone representing that. Also, do we really consider an android or a robot a human being? And one good question that was brought up was in Star Trek Next Generation, when Data is put on trial, called The Matter of a Man, where Jean-Luc Picard has to defend Data to say that no matter what kind of life form we are all human.
Commander Riker has dramatically demonstrated to this court that Lieutenant Commander Data is a machine. Do we deny that? No, because it is not relevant. We too are machines, just machines of a different type. Commander Riker has also reminded us that Lieutenant Commander Data was created by a human. Do we deny that? No. Again, it is not relevant. Children are created from the building blocks of their parents' DNA. Are they property? I call Lieutenant Commander Data to the stand. What are these?
My medals.
Why do you pack them? What logical purpose do they serve?
I do not know, sir. I suppose none. I just wanted them. Is that vanity?
And this?
A gift from you, sir.
You value it?
Yes, sir.
Why?
It is a reminder of friendship and service.
And this. You have no other portraits of your fellow crew members. Why this person?
I would prefer not to answer that question, sir. I gave my word.
Under the circumstances, I don't think Tasha would mind.
She was special to me, sir. We were intimate.
And it just brings up Val Casey. Do we consider him, you know, a automaton, a robot, a human? But it could have been a much better story with this than what we got with this episode. So 1 out of 5 rating for this, and I'll pass this on to Kelly.
Okay. Well, I too brought up the idea that this was basically Twilight Zone meets The Wizard of Oz in my initial written review. And I actually gave this, in my written review, a 2 rating. I just kind of rated it a ho-hum average episode. But as I thought about it more, I decided to lower it to a 1 simply because it was kind of silly. I mean, if you know that your player is a robot, it does seem kind of ridiculous to take him to the hospital for a doctor to look at. No, you take him to the locker room and bring in the guy who created him to come in and look at him. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, you know, you're going to be found out if you take him to the doctor, you know, to an actual doctor. And the whole idea that Casey gets emotions when he gets a heart, it seems a little far-fetched. I mean, a heart in a person's body, it's, you know, really your heart, it's a muscle. It's not actually part of your brain. It doesn't think. It just, it's a muscle that does what it's supposed to do. So it seems kind of silly to me that's what all of a sudden.
Because the heart is the center of emotions. That's why.
Okay, everybody thinks of it that way, but, you know,
yes,
the heart
everybody
is still,
thinks of it that way. Therefore, in the story, that's what it. That's how it is. All right, you can only look.
Okay, can I finish what I'm saying? Anyway, what I was trying to just say was that, you know, for him to automatically get emotions because he got the heart, it does seem a little far-fetched, and just the whole thing. And I also thought it was kind of silly that Jack Warden, it's his second appearance, I think, in the Twilight Zone, and he gets into another robot story. Was that a coincidence, or did they say we got a robot script here? Let's bring on Jack Warden. So, you know, and I think certainly the first episode that he was in, The Lonely, I think was a much better episode than this one.
I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and pass it on to Ken because I don't really have much else to say on this particular episode. It's just kind of a ho-hum one at best. What do you say, Ken?
Well, I want to warn everybody beforehand, are you sure you want me to review this episode on Talk Shoe? I need everybody's permission on this one.
Well, Ken, I think the consensus is that none of us thought it was a great episode, so
wrong.
I don't think you're going to be in a minority.
Wrong.
Okay.
Ken, go ahead.
I'm giving everybody a forewarning, and I don't want anybody to be upset, and I don't want you to cancel the show or hang up, okay? So I'm giving everybody a forewarning, okay?
All right.
Because I'm one of the biggest baseball fans.
You know, if the episode had been as melodramatic as this is, it would have been more interesting.
Yeah, good point.
Well, I'm a very big baseball fan. I saw my first game in 1960 as a 6-year-old. My dad took me to Los Angeles Dodgers Stadium in 1960. I remember I was in the bleachers. And the year before, 1959, the Dodgers won the World Championship 4-2 over the Chicago White Sox. So it was pretty popular. I could see where Rod Serling and the writers said, hey, let's get some sports stories into the Twilight Zone. So far, Rod is 0-2 in the first season because the boxing story wasn't that great and kind of petered out at the end. And the problem with this story is you have the initial baseball setting, the robot, he can do wonders, he could throw the fastball and the curveball. One thing I was upset, and when I'm watching something, I like to see the best effort put forth by the production crew. When Casey was on the mound throwing the fastball or throwing the curveball, they used the stunt double from the actor that was supposed to be throwing the ball, and that upset me. If you're going to cast an actor, at least cast somebody who could throw the ball. Come on, you could see right away. That was another guy throwing the ball. They must have got some minor league guy who could at least wind up and throw the ball over the plate. Are you telling me that Robert Soros can't throw a fastball over the plate? I mean, come on, give me a break. So that upset me. But like I was saying, the episode, the way it played out, dragged and then got silly, then got preposterous, then became a disaster, and then the end was horrible. And I agree. Jack Warden, what are you doing in this episode? You were miscast. You don't look like a manager to me. And Casey himself did not look like a baseball player. Come on. And the whole script was not only way out in left field, but it was way out in the parking lot. And it offended me. Now, I don't like to be offended when I'm watching TV. If you're going to write a baseball story in the Twilight Zone, put together your best minds, come up with a script that follows the path of the Twilight Zone, where you have the strangeness, the eeriness, the unusual, the creepiness. I mean, you could write a story on sports, but develop the story where it is, you know, the audience is engaged. This one, I could not be engaged with Casey. Who cares about the hospital scene? Who cares about the commissioner? Who cares about the score, really? I want a story something like Eight Men Out. 1988, there's a movie called Eight Men Out, excellent movie. You know, the Chicago White Sox way back in 1909 or whatever it was. I think it was 1919.
They, yeah, 1919 when they threw the World Series.
Yeah, right. And they
were known as the Black Sox.
Right. What was so engaging about that story is how it all played out and who was guilty and who had a change of mind. And maybe in the Twilight Zone you can come up with a team that's going to throw the game, but since the story is in the Twilight Zone, they're not able to throw the game, something else happens, and then there's a big eerie twist at the end, and then you're left hanging. Something like that would have interested me more. Another movie that is excellent as far as baseball movies is The Pride of the Yankees, 1942.
That
Gary
was a good
Cooper.
Movie. That was a good movie.
Oh, yeah. Gary Cooper made that movie. And, you know, you had the dilemma in that one where he's so successful, but then toward the end of the story, he can't continue anymore because of Lou Gehrig's disease. And he has to give it up. So the memo I would give to the production crew is, if you're going to do some sports stories, don't just make it a jolly old boxing story and the guy wins or lose and the boy admires the guy, like in that boxing story. Or in this one, where you have a robot who is supernatural, and then in the end, you know, his heart is soft, so he gives up home runs to the other team, and the other team wins. I mean, you're really not engaged. I wasn't engaged. Maybe other people liked it, but to me, it's not engaging, and there's nothing. Again, the Twilight Zone has to scare me, or it has to make me wonder, or has to put me in another zone where it's different. Anyways, that's about as much as I could say about this one. If it comes on the marathon, I will not watch it. And like I told you before, my grandchildren will not watch it. I will bar them from watching this.
So you realize, of course, Ken, that will make them want to watch it all the more. They're going to sneak it and watch it when you're not home.
That's right.
But I'm going to throw a curveball over to Bobby Neer, who's a big Yankee fan. But, Bob, I got to tell you, this year the Yankees are not winning the World Series. I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Phillies. They've got the pitching. They've got their hitters back. And the National League is far better than the American League. So, Bob, Yankee fan, why don't you review this episode in the Twilight Zone, okay?
All righty. Thank you, Ken. One of the biggest problems with this episode, aside from the fact that it stinks, which is obvious, is the fact that it's a squandered opportunity, a big squandered opportunity. Because if you're going to do a baseball story, there are dozens of stories you could do that would be more interesting than this. This is just, as a matter of fact, this really doesn't have anything to do with baseball. Casey could have been in any sport. Could have been a hockey player, a basketball player, anybody. It's all about whether he's a robot or not and has a heart. Big deal. You can substitute any sport. He could be a soccer player. He could be anything. They just pick baseball because that's what everybody knows better than anything. And football hadn't taken over at that time. But the thing is that it's a squandered opportunity. Now, anybody, you don't have to be a professional writer to come up with a better story than this. I mean, Ken mentioned several famous movies about baseball. Well, how about Field of Dreams? I mean, why not do a story like this in which a professional baseball player is heading for some sort of all-time record, like Hank Aaron would do many years later? And because it's the Twilight Zone, in the midst, as he's approaching the record, he gets approached by the person himself, the ghost of that person, whether it's Babe Ruth or somebody else, who he sees, nobody else sees. And maybe that person tries to talk about setting the record, suggests that it's a kind of something holy about it and that nobody should really surpass that record. He might be conflicted under those conditions about whether or not he wants to set that record. Back when Hank Aaron set the record, not everybody was in favor of it. And that would have been a more interesting story. So you don't have to be a professional writer to come up with almost anything that's better than this. Personally, I'm not a big baseball fan. Ken's right about being a Yankee fan. Football is more my game, but, you know, there can be, as Ken pointed out, an interesting story about baseball. This business with the robot also, everybody mentioned the story with Jack Warden from earlier, but if memory serves me correct, and I didn't go back and check, there's another episode coming up later in the series. I don't know whether it's which season it's in. And I think it's called Steel with Lee Marvin about robots that are boxing.
Yes.
And he huh?
Yeah, it is. Steel,
yeah, and
with
he pretends to be a robot and he practically gets his brains beat out. That's a similar story to this. So I think it's maybe a little bit better than this. I hardly remember it. But that's a similar story about robots. But you expect those kind of stories in what's essentially a science fiction series. But you got a great opportunity here if you want to do a sports story, do baseball. It's a national pastime. Everybody knows it and can relate to it. And like I said, the movies that Ken mentioned, Field of Dreams and even other ones, show that you can do a baseball story and be interesting. But this just doesn't make it at all. Now, my other complaint is the same complaint I had in our last show, and I'm going to complain it again 2 weeks from now. And that is that it's coming to the end of season one of The Twilight Zone. It's still a new series. It has not reached legendary status yet, and it won't for many, many years. And they're coming to the end of the season, and they are pissing away the season and the series with these series of lousy episodes. We had that one a couple of weeks ago. We've got this one here, and the one in 2 weeks Ken and I don't like. I know that Lynn is crazy about it, but we're not. And it's the end of the season. You need to give people a reason to come back. Look at television today. I mean, more than ever. Virtually every series on TV, even the comedy shows, do something at the end of the season special. It's either a cliffhanger or something is resolved or something special to end the season because the competition is so cutthroat, they've got to make sure that you'll come back. Right now, because the season's going to start in a couple of weeks, the promotion on TV is endless about everything coming back. Even Hawaii Five-O is coming back. And so you need to have people remember you, and so you want to put your best foot forward. Instead, I don't know what's happening here. It's beyond me that at the end of the season, it's getting worse and worse and worse. I think Serling is lucky that his show was on 50 years ago because back then networks were more willing, there wasn't a lot of product out there, and they were more willing to let series have a pass, let them develop. Today, their series coming on in a few weeks, and if they don't grab an audience in the first 3 or 4 weeks, they're gone. They're going to disappear just like that. And so you need to put the best thing out there. Now, I wouldn't be in favor of moving things like Where Is Everybody or The Hitchhiker to the end of the season, but there were other stories that could have gone in there towards the end that would make a person say, gosh, if they did this in the first season, what are they going to do in the second season? Instead, you get the feeling that they've played their best hand. There's nothing left to do. They've already run out of ideas. Pretty sad. Now, like Ken, I was very, very young when it was on, so I didn't care. I wasn't as discerning then as I am today. And so everything they did was wonderful. I didn't really care one way or the other. But today, if I was watching the series, I would be very concerned that we're coming to the end of season one, and you've got all these lousy episodes, one after another, and they're just not compelling enough to make me want to come back in the same season. Luckily, it lasted. We got a lot of incredible classic stories coming up. But, boy, you'd never know it. You'd never know it by what's going here. Somebody refresh my memory. Did Serling write this episode? I don't know.
Yes, he did.
All right. He wrote this episode, and this is, you know, I mean, come on. The man was a brilliant writer. He's always been my personal hero. And for him to write an episode this bad, I mean, what did he do? I mean, was he just half asleep? Did he not feel like doing it? And he raised this kind of story. Since it's derivative of The Wizard of Oz anyway, it's disgraceful for somebody as brilliant as Rod Serling to write such a weak story. I just think it's bad. And unfortunately, in 2 weeks from now, I won't be happy. And then when we start season two, the first episode of that, I won't be happy there either. So the series is in a rut. And hopefully it'll get out of it before I fall asleep. All right, Lynn, that's it for me.
Bobby?
Okay, well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Robin.
I wanted to ask you, the story that you were kind of describing, what it should have been like, is something we see further on down the road with the Jonathan Winters character, and instead of being
the
baseball,
is that
pool.
Is the Minnesota Fats episode?
Yep.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, something like that. So if you're going to do a sports story every now and then, why not go down that road?
No.
So that's what I would rather see that than see a story about a robot. I couldn't care less about it.
Right. All right. Well, anyway, we have someone who has a totally different opinion on this episode, and that's Rick. And I want to hear what Rick has to say, and then I want to talk to Dave. So let's hear what Rick has to say.
Okay. First of all, like I said, okay, according to all the poets and dreamers, the seat of emotion is the heart. Serling was a poet and a dreamer. Okay. This is, as I said 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, most of the stories like this one were a morality play, whether they were trenched in science fiction or horror or whatever. They were all essentially morality plays. Who doesn't like a Cinderella story? Look at the 1969 Mets, 20 games out with 30 games left. They ended up in the playoffs. You know, so did the Zephyrs. The Zephyrs were the losers all the time. The Brooklyn Dodgers, them bums. Okay? Always losers.
Them bums.
Okay. Who doesn't like a Cinderella story? And I disagree with this being a Wizard of Oz story. I consider it a Cinderella story, a team coming from out of nowhere, losing all the time, finally winning. Okay?
Turned into a baseball player would have been a better episode.
The speech where that Warren makes that, oh, I'll take anything that's got a heartbeat or breathe or whatever, is a predecessor to I forget his name now, and I love his acting too, from Slapshot.
Paul Newman.
Paul Newman. When he was the player coach, you know. Piece of crap you see on the waiver list, you'll pick up. Reminded me of what Warren said. Again, like I said, it's a morality play. Rod wanted that to be what the series is, a series of morality plays, if nothing else.
Well, that's great, Rick, but make it interesting. This
I thought it was interesting.
I
thought it was interesting.
Hmm.
Okay. My special effects person loves this episode. Okay, my script editor loves this episode.
No, I'm sure there are plenty of people that liked it. I mean, you know, you're going to always have, like, you know, a lot of people who like an episode, and you're going to have a bunch of people who hate it. But, no, I do know one person in particular who, unfortunately, he's no longer with us, but his name was John Letier, and he belonged to our Yahoo discussion group on the Twilight Zone. He absolutely loved this episode. Bobby, you remember John, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's no longer with us. He passed away last year, but he was a big Twilight Zone fan. He thought the Mighty Casey was—he was a big baseball fan, and he thought the Mighty Casey was outstanding. He loved it. I never could argue it with him because, as far as he was concerned, this episode could do no wrong. So, you know, I mean, you're always going to have that, sure. But Dave, hey Dave, what do you think?
Well, I've got a few things to say as usual, if that's okay.
Okay.
Well, first of all, I don't think it was a great story. It was a little bit thin on the ground. But a few things I'd like to comment. First of all, Rod Sterling, I think, is doing his two-for-one bag again. That's virtually every story that I've seen him do. He's done a mirror image story. So basically, to my mind anyway, he's writing these things, he's thinking, every idea I come up with, I'm going to get two stories out of it. So if you think of the one we watched with the young girl in the store, didn't know she was a statue. Here we're in the situation where the robot, we know it's a robot, but the other people around didn't know it was a robot. So basically, he always seems to get two stories for the price of one. So that's one point. Let me go on to the next. I think some of the lightness of the episode was down to cost because, of course, they'd hired this baseball ground. That was one thing. Another thing is apparently Jack Warden wasn't going to play this part. It was going to be played by Paul Douglas, great actor who I used to love. He was in Green Fire, I think, with Marilyn Monroe. And Stuart Granger, very great character actor, big man. He was cast but died of a heart attack, aged about 58, 56, just a few weeks before this went ahead. So that's another thing. Just to go back to what Bobby said, yes, I agree with him about he should be fielding stronger stories towards the end of the series, but there were fewer channels about then. Maybe that wasn't quite as intimidating for the executives, and that the pressure may not have been the same. I'm picking all the positive things first. Five, I thought the doctor was quite good, the inventor, the professor, in as much as he wasn't trying to make money out of this robot. Basically, for him, this was just a field test to see how it would perform. He wasn't really interested in the money. Then we get to sort of the less good aspects. Like a lot of people have mentioned, you know, they took this robot, and I think the word Robert was looking for before was automaton.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah.
that was silly. But the point is that when this young lad is seen to pitch, or the robot seen to pitch, the manager gets on the phone and says, get the contract signed up. Well, as everybody knows, in all sports, you have a medical before the contract is signed. So how they got past that, I don't know.
No, you're right. I never thought about that. You're right.
A better story for me would have been, I don't think the robot was the best idea. Just sitting here in 5 minutes, I thought, 20, 30 minutes we've been recording, my best idea would have been that if the coach was a much more disillusioned person, and this young pitcher comes up, and it turns out that the young pitcher was he himself 30 years ago as a young boy.
Well, that's good.
So
that's
not a bad idea. The film it reminded me of, and the film that I have a lot of affection for, was The Stratton Story, which was about the Chicago White Sox, and that, of course, was played by Jimmy Stewart and June Allison as his wife. And in that case, he was a pitcher who accidentally shot himself, I think. So he didn't have a tin leg, but he was basically limited on what he could do. And that was a story of him getting back into the game. So I quite like that. And one other thing that I'm sure Robert will have seen as well as me, there was in the Highlander, the TV series, there was a great episode of that where there was this black, he was actually a slave when he was born. Of course, he lived 200 years as an immortal, and it was his story of him trying to get into the league, because at first he could only play in the black league baseballs and so on. So I don't know if Robert remembers that. But it wasn't really a strong story. They pretty much stretched it to breaking point to fit in. And that little bit about the, the blueprint and him chasing after the professor at the end.
Actually, David wasn't even in the Black Leagues. He was in what they call a barn. He was actually the team was what they call a barnstorming team. I believe there was a league too. But it's a team of either blacks or they even had white teams that did it that weren't in leagues, but they'd go around on buses like in the 20s and 30s and 40s and play major league teams and sometimes even beat them. But they were like nobodies and minor leaguers and stuff like that. But I liked that episode of the Highlander.
Yeah, so like with the Kevin Costner one and the Stratton story I mentioned, there's quite a lot. So, I did feel as though that they could have spent a little bit more time. I think somebody who wasn't listening carefully, who thought the story was over, might have missed all that implication that was at the end, that the fact that it was alluding to a real story about a successful team, the team that didn't smile and so on. So,
well, Rod tells you it's a fairy tale anyway. Going into it,
well, I suppose he didn't want to get sued, so perhaps they played that bit down, yeah.
Yeah, but there's much better robotic automaton episodes for on down the road. I just think The Lonely was a lot better. I mean, it's not the greatest story, but the working of the android in that one was a lot better.
Definitely better. I like the story a lot better. I like the interaction with the characters much better. I just like the whole storyline. And Alicia,
I just wondered if the cost of the venue had been sort of 80% of the budget, and they only had perhaps they only could hire the baseball area for 2 days or Monday to Friday before the next match.
And yeah, that's true.
That was something. Anyway, not really a story to rave about, but I think I enjoyed it more for the other stories and other films that I've seen that it reminded me of, as I say, like the Stratton story.
What's your rating on it, Dave? And Rick, too, we need to get your rating as well.
Two, I would think. 2 out of 5.
What about you, Rick?
4.
4. Okay.
All right. I love it when we have, one end to the other. I love it when we have, different views, and that's great. That's awesome. Well, anybody else have anything to say about this, or have we done this one? Well, anyway, I think we did this one, and 2 weeks from now, we're going to be doing A World of Zone, starring Keenan Wynn, and I'm looking forward to that one. I know most people don't like it, but I haven't loved that episode.
Elephant? Hey, Lynn, an elephant.
Okay, Kim, save it for next time.
I love it. I love it.
Well, liked it.
Me too. Well, anyway. Okay, well, we're going to see you in 2 weeks. Thank you, everybody, for being here today. I really appreciate it. And guest number 5 and guest number 6, thank you as well. And we will see you all in 2 weeks.